This week's parsha is Parshas Sazria Metzora. The main topic of Parshas Sazria Metzora is the loss of Tzoras. Tzoras, in its primary manifestation, is a white discoloration of the skin, and there is a machloikas, a difference of opinion, if that is actually a disease or it's just a spiritual discoloration. The Eben Ezra says that Tzoras is a contagious disease that comes to a person. As a matter of fact, Ramban on chapter 12, Pasuk number 4, says that regarding a Metzora who is found to be contaminated, it's written on Pasuk number 46 of chapter 13, Bodot Yeshev Michutz Lamachane Moishavoy, that he should sit alone and his residence should be outside the encampment. And it's not written like any other case of tumah, where it's written the Yetzer Mechutz LaMachne, that he should leave the encampment, or Lo Yavoy Atoch HaMachne, he should not come into encampment. There it's written that his dwelling has to be outside the encampment. In other words, the Ramban is trying to explain why is it written the word Moishavoy, that his dwelling has to be outside the encampment. The Ramban explains that he really is stressing that he is required to be alone and he is not allowed to move even outside the encampment. Why? The Ramban says, Ki reichoy vehevaloy mazikim, that his wind and his breath cause harm to others, therefore he has to sit outside the encampment. The Ramban is trying to say that he is contagious, therefore the Torah does not want him to be moving around even outside the encampment because he could get other people sick. Even though the Rambam himself seems to contradict this idea of being a physical disease, because the Rambam on chapter 13, Pasuk 47, where there it is discussing the tzoras of clothing, discoloration that happens in clothing, the Ramban says, Zeho inyan einenu beteva klal, that this tzoras is not something natural, veloyhave be'olam, and it wasn't something that's in the world. It's not a regular physical disease. Vechene gebatim, and also the diseases of houses is not a physical disease, it's a spiritual disease. And he explains, Avol b'yois Yisrael shlemim l'Hashem, when the Jewish people are complete with Hashem, then Yeruach Hashem aleihem, the spirit of Hashem is going to be on the people, tamid, always, lahamid gufam vigdeyem uvoteyem bemaretoif, to make sure that their bodies, their clothing and their houses are in a very good look, in a very good standard. But v'kasha yikreb echod mehem ched v'avoin, but if a person will make a sin, then Yisave kiur bipsoroi oy bevigdoi o beveisoi, then he will have a ugliness in his flesh, in his clothing, or in his house. Lirois ki Hashem sor me'elav, to show you that Hashem is not with him. You see, according to this Ramban, that the discoloration of the flesh is not a physical disease, it's a spiritual disease, that it comes to show that Hashem is unhappy with you. In truth, there is no clear contradiction of the Ramban. The Ramban could still believe that it is a contagious disease and anybody who sits around could get this disease. But the reason you get it, it's a spiritual reason to show that Hashem is not happy with you. It is not like any other contagious diseases that we know. The disease will only come if the person has sin and he doesn't behave properly. But the greatest proof about this being a physical disease comes from the Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma says clearly, "Deine hanegoim humachle hamadbekes." It's a contagious disease, and he brings proof from Medrash Rabbe Tes Zayin Gimel, where Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish have a machloikes. They have a divergence of opinion. Rabbi Yochanan says that a person is not allowed to go to the east of a Metzora 4 cubits. And Rabbi Shimon says that if you see a Metzora, you have to distance from him 100 cubits. And the Medrash continues that they are not arguing with each other. that Rabbi Yochanan, when he said that a person should distance 4 cubits from a metzora, from a person who has this disease, is talking when the wind is not blowing. But if the wind is blowing, then the danger is bigger, and you are required to distance yourself 100 cubits from the metzora. And the Medrash continues that Rav Ami in Rav Ashi will never go in to a neighborhood, to a house of a metzora. The Meshech Chachma continues and says it's so contagious that in Pasuk 45, the Pasuk says, Tome, Tome, Ikra, that a person should proclaim that he's Tome. In other words, that the Metzora has to tell everybody that he's Tome, and any dealings with him is so dangerous that you require to have, according to the words of the Meshech Chachma, Hashgacha Nifla Pratius, divine minute intervention, that you should be saved, not be caught on this contagious disease. And the Meshech Chachma continues that according to this we could understand why specifically the Torah tells you when somebody is suspected of being a Metzora, or even when he is definite a Metzora, why does he have to go specifically to the Kohen? The Kohen is not a doctor. Why does he require to go to the Kohen? The Even Ezra answers that the reason he goes to the Kohen is because since Hashem protects the Kohanim and watches over them very carefully, as the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Chronicles 1, chapter 33, Pasuk number 13 says, Vayavdel Aharon lahagdishoi kodesh kadoshim, that Hashem separated Aharon to sanctify him, holy of holies. In other words, according to the Meshech Chachma, Hashem is watching and protecting the Kohanim very carefully. Therefore, Hashem said that the only person who could come in contact with this disease and not be harmed is a Kohen. Therefore, if you suspect a person of having this disease, or if the person actually has the disease, who is so contagious, the only person that could get close to him is somebody who is divinely protected as the Kohen, but anybody else is not allowed to go to him because it is so contagious. You see, according to the opinion of the Meshech Chachma, that he holds that this is a highly contagious disease. But the Rambam, Maimonides, does not hold that way. The Rambam in Peresh HaMishnais, Masechtas Negoim, Perek Yud Beis, Mishnah Hey, explains that tzoras is not a natural phenomenon. It's only haderech ha'ois v'amoifes. It's a sign and a wonder, a miracle basically, like mei sota, like the waters of sota. The same way when a sota drinks waters, it's spiritual that she gets sick or she dies. So too, this idea of you having anega, it's not a physical disease, there is no symptoms and it's not contagious. It's something spiritual that Hashem is showing that you did something wrong. And they explain that that is the reason that you go to the Kohen, since the Kohen is the one responsible for atonement. Most times that you require to have atonement via a sacrifice, you are required to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and the one who helps you prepare for that atonement is the Kohen. So too here, when you get this affliction, which is a spiritual affliction, for you to understand that this comes because of a sin and you require to atone, the Torah specifically tells you that you require to go to the Kohen. Like that you will know that this is something that you require to do tshuva for and you require to atone. It is not a disease that just decided to show up. Since you don't have any symptoms besides the discoloration, therefore it is telling you that this discoloration came because of something wrong that you did and you require to have atonement for it. Therefore you will do tshuva and you will try to figure out what you did wrong in order to get healed. The Balakeda explains that there is other proofs to tell you that this disease is not contagious and it's not a natural disease, because regarding tzoras, the Torah tells you that the Kohen will come and he will lock you up for 1 week or 2 weeks, then the disease will be cured. And if it is a natural disease, chances are that if you are locked up in one place and breathing your own air, that you will get sicker, not that you will get healed. So therefore, the Balakeda says that it is clearly a spiritual disease and not a physical disease, since to heal it you require to stay locked up in one place. And how can a disease be healed if you are locked up breathing the same air of the disease? The main proof the Mefarshim bring is from the Mishnah in Masechtas Nagoyim, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Bet. There the Mishnah says, Chosen shenera boy nega, a chosen that it appeared to him a nega or a tzoraz, noisin loy shivas yemei hamishte, loy ulebeisoy uleksusoy, that you give him his house and his clothing 7 days to enjoy and rejoice with his wife. Now, if you believe that this is a contagious disease, how is it possible that the rabbis would allow a person to enjoy his sheva brachas, his 7 days of rejoicing with his wife, if it's possible that he will transmit this disease to other people? If, like the Meshech Chokmah says, it's a highly contagious disease, the rabbis would definitely not allow this sakana, this danger, to continue among the Jewish people. The fact that the rabbis allow him to have sheva brachas, the 7 days to rejoice, that is a clear proof that this disease is not contagious. Because if it would be contagious, the rabbis would have stopped right away from propagating this disease. And further, that Mishnah continues, v'chen beregel, also in a holiday, in other words, if it would be, let's say, Pesach or Sukkot, noisin loy kol yemois haregel, will give him all the days of the holidays. For example, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, where you're required to go and make Aliyah l'regel, you're required to go up to Yerushalayim. You and millions of other Jews, if you suspect that you have this disease, the rabbi said that you don't have to go and show it to the Kohen, for the chance that the Kohen may say that you are Tome and you are contaminated, and then you'll have to be locked up, thereby reducing your enjoyment of the holiday. The rabbis tell you that you could wait till after the holiday, then you should go to the Kohen and the Kohen will look at your tzoras, at your skin affliction. Now, according to the Meshech Chochmah, that this is a highly contagious disease, how would the rabbis allow you to stay there and contaminate millions of Jews just because they don't want to spoil your personal holiday? Sure they wouldn't, because we have a rule that even a doubt of sakana, a doubt of danger, is prohibited. Then the rabbis would not take this chance. Obviously, you must say that this skin disease is not contagious. Therefore, the rabbis have time to wait till after the holiday. But there is still a problem, that if I hold that it's totally a spiritual disease, then what is the purpose for him getting this disease during the holiday or during his sheva brachas? If we're telling you now that this is a disease that Hashem sends you and there is no physical symptoms, then why did Hashem send them this disease before the holiday or during his sheva brachas? Hashem could have sent them this disease right after the holiday or right after sheva brachas, since by him having this disease right now, it doesn't affect them either way. And the answer is that this is exactly the reason why Hashem made them have this disease during the holiday or during his sheva brachas. Since he is involved in a mitzvah, Hashem wanted to give him a chance to repent even before he goes to the Kohen. In other words, had Hashem sent him the disease after the holiday, then he will have to go right away to the Kohen, and he didn't have a chance yet to repent. And if the Kohen sees that the discoloration is deep enough, then the Kohen will tell him that he is Tomeh, and he will contaminate him and have to be locked up. But by Hashem sending this during his Sheva Brachas or during the holidays, Hashem is giving him a chance to repent even before he comes to the Kohen. Like that, when he'll come to the Kohen, the color won't be as deep anymore, and the Kohen will actually tell him that he is tor. So the fact that Hashem is giving him in a time that he cannot proclaim it to become tamei is a kindness of Hashem that he'll be able to repent without having any repercussions, that he won't have to go through the procedure of cleansing as prescribed in the parsha. So it's a chesed of Hashem that he gives them this affliction during the Sheva Brachas or during the holiday. They ask a question on this Rambam, that Rambam believes that it is a spiritual disease and it's not a physical disease, and it only comes because of sin, from the Mishnah on Nida Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. There the Mishnah is describing all the things that applies to girls and all the things that applies to boys. And the Mishnah says, Tinoik ben yom echot, that a one-day-old child, metame ben egoim, that he contaminates with tzoras. In other words, if he has tzoras, then he contaminates. And the Gemara in 44a asks, how do I know that a one-day-old child already is considered old enough to contaminate with tzoras affliction? The Gemara answers, because the Pasuk says, Adam kiya b'oir b'soroi, on chapter 13, pasuk number 2, says a man that will have in his flesh a discoloration. But when it says about a man, it says Adam, which refers normally Adam kosho. Any age-old infant is already considered Adam, and we learn that from Bamidbar chapter 31, pasuk 35, where we are discussing the captives taken in the battle of Midian, which all of them were minors, and there it describes the nefesh Adam and souls of Adam. So you see, Adam is even when you are a minor. And since the Torah here, but when it starts, the laws of Negoim, the laws of Tzoras, says Adam ki yeor besoroi, therefore the Torah is telling you that any age-old child becomes tame, becomes contaminated through a Tzoras affliction. Then the question is, if the whole reason of Tzoras is only for you to repent from your sins, and Hashem is showing his disfavor with you, that he doesn't like the way you are behaving, what purpose does it serve that a one-day-old child should get contaminated with Negaim? Obviously, that child could not have sinned yet, and according to the Rambam, that it only serves for you to repent, then what is the purpose of Hashem sending this miracle to a day-old child? The answer Meforshim give is that the message is not for the son. The message is actually for the father, who sees the son coming out with a tzoras. Then the father should repent. But now the question is, how come Hashem doesn't send this message directly to the father? And the answer could be that Hashem, again, is very kind, and he knows that the father is needed somewhere else, or he doesn't want to embarrass the father by requiring him to go outside the encampment. Therefore, Hashem sends the message through the child, where the child doesn't feel any embarrassment of people looking at him, trying to figure out what he did wrong. But nonetheless, the father, if he's smart, when he sees that his child got the affliction of tzoras, will then repent, and he will be spared that the father himself will not get this tzoras. And the same answer could be given for the rule that a person who gets tzoras chutz laaretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, he does not become contaminated. The question, according to the Rambam, is, what's the purpose of getting tzoras? The answer is that the tzoras comes for you to do tshuva, regardless if you are contaminated or not. Therefore, even chutz laaretz you are able to get this tzoras, even though you do not become contaminated. But according to the Meshech Chochma that explains that tzoras is a contagious disease, then we have a problem. How come when you get this contagious disease chutz laaretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, you do not have to follow the rules? If it is contagious, then a person should be required to be put aside even outside of Israel. But according to the Rambam, since it's a spiritual message that you are required to repent, that spiritual message is possible to get for holy people even outside of Israel. But a strong question on the Rambam is from Masechtas Nagoyim Peregimel Mishneh Aleph. There it says, Hakol mitamim benegoyim. Everybody becomes contaminated with Thoras. Chutz menoivet koichovim. Besides a non-Jew. In other words, a non-Jew has this affliction. He is not contaminated. The question according to the Rambam is, why would Hashem give this disease to a non-Jew? I understand according to the Meshech Chochma that it is a physical disease. Then I understand that a non-Jew could get this disease, but it doesn't have to follow the procedure prescribed to the Jews. But according to the Rambam, that this is a spiritual and only holy people will get this disease, we have a question: how come the Mishnah says that a non-Jew is able to get this disease, but he does not become contaminated? What is the purpose for him to get this disease? Pardes Yosef asks this question, and he says that you have to say that there is certain tzoras in Teva, in nature, and those a non-Jew could get, but the ones described in the Torah are supernatural and they only apply to Jews. I want to say the same idea, that it's possible for non-Jews to be pious and get a message from Hashem, but nonetheless they are not required to follow the procedure, and if they repent, fine, if not, it's okay too. The same way we say that it's possible for a Jew to get this message, Chutz La'aretz, even though the procedure does not have to apply, so too it's possible for a non-Jew to get this disease, and maybe he is from the Hasidei Umos Oilam, he is from the pious people among the nation, and Hashem may be giving this message to them even though they do not have to follow the procedure. The main reason for a person to get Tzoras, it's written on Eichen Daf Tezvav Omed Beis, in name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. He says, Kol ha-mesaper loshen hara, anybody who speaks derogatory speech against somebody else, negoim boin olav, afflictions, Tzoras, will come to him. Even though the Gemara on Eichen Daf Tezayin Omed Aleph brings another 6 reasons why Tzoras will come, but nonetheless we know that the main reason why Tzoras comes is because Loshon Hara, because of the derogatory remark. Sefer Evan Shloima asks a question regarding Tzoras. The first symptom of Tzoras is if a person gets a white patch on his skin which is at least the size of a grease, meaning that if the skin turns to be white, then he gets a tzoras and he becomes contaminated. But if that skin turns to be dark, then he becomes pure. Sefer Evan Shloima asks a question, it seems to contradict the rules always of Tumah and Tahara. For example, we know normally white is considered rachamim, kindness, sinless, that is white, and dark is considered usually full of sin, din, and justice. And here we say just the opposite. We say that if a person has white on his skin, he is contaminated, he is impure. And yet if he has black on his skin, then he is considered pure. How come here it's opposite than all the rules that we usually have? And also we see that the Ramban, when he's discussing eagles, he says there that anything that has blackness in it, it's normally considered tome, impure. Then how come here the whiteness is considered a sign that the person is contaminated? Before we answer this question, we'll ask another question. On Parshas Metzora, chapter 14, Pasuk number 13, we are discussing the purification of a Metzora. There it says, V'shachat es ha-keves b'mkoim asher yishchat es ha-chatos v'soilo. He should slaughter the lamb in the place where he would slaughter the sin offering and the elevation offering. B'makoim ha-kodesh, in a place of holiness. Meaning that in the same place that you slaughtered the oilo and the chatos, which is in the north side of the Beis HaMikdash, in the same place you should slaughter the osham. The question Mefarshim ask is, how come it's not written you should slaughter it in the north side? This same question is actually asked by the Chatos on Vayikra Parshas Tzav, chapter 6, pasuk number 18. There it says, Zois Toras HaChatos, this is the rule of the Chatos, B'mokim asher tishochet oilo, tishochet HaChatos, in the place that you slaughter the oilo, you should slaughter the Chatos, and there it doesn't say you should do it in the north side either. But on that, the Gemara in Soita, Daf Lamed Beis, Omed Beis explains, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Yochanan spoke in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Mipnamat Tiknu Tfila Balachash, why did they establish that prayer should be done quietly? Shelo Levayesh as Evre Avere, in order not to embarrass somebody who transgressed his sins. In other words, there are people that confess during the Shemoneh Esrei, during the prayer, to the sins that they have. We don't want anybody to hear. Therefore, the rabbis establish that every time you pray, you should do it quietly. Where do you see that you're required to have a sensitivity for people who sinned? Maybe you're required to publicize their sin. The Torah is not describing a place for the chatos. It's telling that you should put the chatos in the place where you do the oila. It's not telling you you should do it in the north side, because the Torah wants you to be particular that exactly the place where you put the oila, which is considered a gift to Hashem, elevation offering, which is brought as a donation without any sin, in the same place you should bring the sin offering. So people, when they'll see that you bring a sacrifice, they won't know if you're bringing as a sin offering or elevation offering. Therefore, you won't be embarrassed to bring this offering. So the same idea, as the rabbis establish you to pray quietly, so people won't know that you are confessing your sins. They will think you're just praying. But that makes very good sense on the chatas, that since the chatas come for a sin, or other guilt offerings, that other guilt offerings come for a sin, then makes sense to tell you that you should put that guilt offerings in the same place that you put the chatas and the oila, the sin offering and the elevation offering, because since they come for a sin, that you should not be embarrassed. But here, when we're talking about metzora, quite opposite. Metzora, everybody knows that he was a metzora, because he was required to proclaim to everybody, as the pasuk said, Tome, Tome Yikra, that he's required to proclaim that he is Tome for everybody. So everybody knew that he is a metzora. Furthermore, the metzora used to stand in Shar Niknor, on the Niknor gate, and used to stick in his thumb and stick in his right ear, and the Kohen used to put the blood on his thumb and ear. Then everybody saw these people standing in the Beis HaMikdash, right in the entrance of the Azara. Then everybody knew that he's a Metzora, and everybody knew what sacrifice he's bringing. Then what is the purpose for the Torah to tell me that in the place that you slaughter the elevation offering and the sin offering, that's where you should slaughter the guilt offering? Since everybody knows what guilt offering this is for, then the Torah should have just written down that you should slaughter this asham, this guilt offering, in the north side. Why is the Torah making it dependent on the place of the chatas and the oila? To answer that, we will bring a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Omed Aleph, 52a. The Gemara said, Lasid Lavo, in the future time, Meviu HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyetzer hara, Hashem is taking the evil inclination, v'shachtoi b'fnei ha-tzadikim u'b'fnei ha-reshoim, and slaughters the evil inclination in front of the righteous people and in front of the evil people. Tzadikim nidme Elohem kahar gavoah, the tzadikim, the evil inclination looks like a huge mountain, u'reshoim nidme Elohem kechut ha-sara, and wicked people, it appears to them like the strand of hair that can easily be broken down. Halalu boichim, valalu boichim. Tzadikim and reshoim are both crying. Tzadikim boichim, the tzadikim are crying, voim eich yachoynu lechvoish hargavoy kaze, how were we able to overcome such a high mountain? Ureshoim boichim, voimrim Eich lo yechonu lichvosh eschut asar hazeh. And the evil people say, how is it possible that we weren't able to conquer and to overcome this strand of hair? The simple explanation of this Gemara is that for evil people, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, doesn't have to work hard. Even if it's as thick as a strand of hair, they still did not overcome it. But righteous people, since if they would show like a strand of hair, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, won't be able to convince the righteous people. Therefore, he has to make it thicker and thicker and thicker, and only when it's as hard as mountains, then the righteous people could not overcome it. That's why for the righteous people, the evil inclination had to act like mountains, but for the evil people, it was good enough for him to act like a hair. But Sefer Divrei Yoel on Parshas Emor from the Satmar Rebbe gives a little bit different interpretation based on a Baal Shem Tov on Gemara and Shabbos 75a, where the Gemara there is talking about shoichet, that somebody slaughters an animal, mishum mai mechayev, why is a slaughter liable? So the Gemara says that Rav Oimer mishum tzoveya. Rav is saying that he is guilty for painting, meaning that every time you slaughter, blood comes out, therefore you paint the skin because you wanted it. Therefore, you are technically painting the skin. So somebody who slaughters is guilty for painting, for putting color into something. And Tosfos there writes that a shoichet de almekoy, it's not talking about a particular shoichet, it's talking about the shoichet of the world. In other words, a slaughter in the world. So the Baal Shem Tov says that Tosfos is trying to say that the slaughter of the world is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death. As the Gemara says, Hu HaSatan, Hu Yetzer Hara, Hu Malach HaMavis, that the Satan is the evil inclination and he is the angel of death. So he is the Shoichet of the world, he is the slaughterer of the world. According to this, the Gemara is asking a question, the slaughterer of the world, the Malach HaMavis, why is he guilty? As we mentioned, Hashem in the future is going to take the Yetzer Hara and slaughter it in front of the Reshoim, of the evil people, and in front of the righteous people. So the question is, why is Hashem taking the evil inclination, which is the angel of death, and slaughtering him? He is only doing Hashem's work. He is not doing anything more than what Hashem told him to do. Then how come Hashem is taking him and slaughtering him in front of the evil people and the righteous people? So the question is, Shoichet miplei machayev, why is he guilty? And the answer that the Baal Shem Tov says is, Rav says, he's guilty because of Tzoveya, because he's painting, meaning that he is able to paint averas for mitzvahs, that you think that you are doing a good deed by doing a certain action, but in fact, that good deed is actually a sin, because the evil inclination is able to mask what good deed you think you're doing into a sin. And that what the Divrei Yoel says is the mountains that we are mentioning, that the evil people, the Yetzer Hara, could appear as a sin directly, and nonetheless they will fall for him. But the righteous people, the tzaddikim, the Yetzer Hara has to come to a mountain which is hard to go over, because it's hard to understand what the sin is and what the mitzvah is. They are thinking that they are doing a mitzvah, but actually it was a sin. Sefer Even Shloim explains that this idea in particular, that a person sometimes doesn't know if he's making a sin or making a mitzvah, is exactly why the Torah decided by Metzora to reverse the order of things. Normally, it's clear-cut. White means purity. Darkness means sin. But regarding Tzoras, it is the reverse. Darkness is a sign of purity, and whiteness is a sign of sin. Like that, you'll know that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, sometimes works in hidden ways. It makes you think that it is white, but nonetheless, it ends up being impure. So the reason that the Torah put by Negoim that white is impure and black is pure is to teach you that certain times the system is reversed. You have to be very careful to understand when you are making a sin and when you are making a mitzvah. Sefer Shemen Rosh explains, why did the Torah choose to teach me this lesson that certain times you think it's a mitzvah and it's actually aveira, exactly by Negoim, exactly regarding Tzoras. And he explains, since we mentioned that Tzoras comes mostly because of the sin of Lashon Hara, of derogatory remarks, and a person, when he speaks derogatory remarks, he usually tries to justify it as a mitzvah. For example, the Gemara in Yuma 86b says, Mefarsim is achanofim mipnei chul Hashem, that we are required to expose the hypocrites because of the desecration of Hashem's name. In other words, we have a requirement that if you find a person that is wicked and he pretends to be righteous, that you're required to expose his true nature to others. Otherwise, a desecration of Hashem's name might result when he will do something wrong, because the population will look and say, look at this pious person, how he behaves, and in truth, this person is nothing but a hypocrite. Then you may think that every time you see somebody doing something bad, that you have a mitzvah to expose a person like that. Or if you see actually somebody committing a sin, you may think that you're required to tell everybody about the sin in order either to cause the person to repent or in order to make sure that other people do not follow this person. But in truth, maybe you think the person is doing a sin, and yet it is not a sin, because the Mishnah in Avos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, says, have it done as kol adam lekav zchus, that we have to judge favorably everybody, and you don't know exactly what he's thinking or what caused them to make this sin. Therefore, you are not doing a mitzvah by exposing this person. You are actually speaking derogatory remarks on this person. And that is most common by this thing that Hashem sends you tzoras for, because usually that's where we make our mistakes. Therefore, the Torah decided specifically by Metzora to show you that white sometimes is not pure and black sometimes is pure. That if you see a person acting in a bad way, could be that he's pure. And you see a person acting in a pure way, could be that he's bad. So the Torah specifically decided by Metzora to give this example. Sefer Shemen Rosh continues and says that that is also the reason why the Torah tells you specifically that you should slaughter the Oshom, the guilt offering of a Metzora, in the place that you slaughtered the Chatas, the sin offering, and the Oilo, and the elevation offering. And the Torah doesn't tell you to slaughter it in the north side for this same message. Meaning that you see that the Torah told you to slaughter the sin offering in the same place as the elevation offering. And we learned that the Torah did that in order not to embarrass somebody who sinned, because the Torah was very careful not to embarrass another person. The Torah didn't want people to see that he's bringing a sin offering. So the Torah tells you that you should slaughter the sin offering in the same place that you slaughtered your elevation offering, which is a gift for Hashem. And now that this person is a Metzora because he spoke derogatory remarks, meaning that he was not careful not to embarrass another person because he spoke bad on another person, the Torah tells you that his sacrifice of atonement has to be exactly in the place where the Torah tells you to slaughter the sin offering, meaning that the Torah was very careful not to embarrass another Jew. So you too, when you spoke or when you clean from speech, you have to be very careful from now on that you put your speech, your guilt offering, in the same place where the sin offering and the elevation offering, in order not to embarrass another Jew. That now that you are healed and you cleanse yourself from your bad speech, The Torah is telling you, in order for you not to repeat it, remember where you're bringing this guilt offering. You are bringing this guilt offering in the same place where the sin offering was, and the sin offering is in the same place where the elevation offering, in order for you to remember not to embarrass another Jew. And if you learn that lesson, then you have accomplished your atonement. Sefer Sha'arei Aharon gives a simple reason why white in this case is considered a sign of impurity, not according to the norm. He explains that derogatory remarks usually accomplishes that you embarrass somebody publicly, and the description that the Gemara gives of somebody who embarrasses the other is as a malbin pnei chaveroi berabim, somebody who makes the other person's face white publicly. And Mefarshim explain, why is it called malbin pnei chaveroi, a person who makes the other person's face white? Because when a person is embarrassed, all blood goes away from his face and he becomes pale. So therefore it's called hamalbin pnei chaveroi, that you make your friend's face white. Therefore, since when you speak derogatory remarks regarding your friend, you make his face turn white, therefore white is a sign of embarrassment. Therefore, specifically, by Tzoras, white is considered tame, that you are able to whiten your face of your friend, white is considered tame, not like anywhere else. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should always remember that Tzoras comes because of Lashon Hara, and the main reason for sin as chinam, for baseless hatred, is because of the sin of Lashon Hara, of derogatory remarks, that we should only be able to speak the goodness of one another, then will increase ahavas chinam, love for no reason, amongst the Jewish people, and then will merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mheira b'yomeinu, amen.